ready? You think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jongi Football, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first hour, that's good stuff. We hit on things for sale. We hit on rock and roll. More ways than one. And
rock and roll.
How's that?
It's pretty good.
Rock and roll.
Maybe you should.
No, Texans me. Voice.
He's supposed to be excited, but I just thought that was a bit much.
And your new first place team, the Houston Texans.
Sounds more like Anson Edgeworth. Hey, Texans. So a lot of you are ticked off. Well, it's Tuesday. You're going to be mad anyway, but a lot of you are mad because we're just telling you it's kind of ridiculous to be excited about being 3-5.
Well, T. Harris says they're not fans. It just gets a little hard to want to hear positive hope on FM and can't get it. First of all, I don't think that's true because
Granato will give you all kinds of positive stuff.
Yeah, Granato, no matter what.
He'll tell you they're not going to lose another game the rest of the season.
Yeah.
So,
but listen, who listens to a radio station to hear the dudes just flat out lie to you? Like, are we not supposed to give, like, our honest opinions on things?
Guys, that's what you have wives for.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're so big. It's totally satisfying, honey. I don't ever need to go anywhere else because you're all the man I can handle. And then they talk to their girlfriends, like, oh, my God, it is so thin. Like,
It's like a pinky.
Yeah. Is there anything bigger than number two pencils? Because that's what I need. We're not going to lie to you. We're going to tell you what we see.
And you don't have to agree with it. It's cool if you know.
Of course.
And if you want to be excited, man. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I just think you're silly.
I just think you have to look at the whole body of work. And if you think, if even at 3-5, you can look at this team and say, you know what? They're in it. Well, they haven't shown me anything to indicate they're in it except they beat three teams with losing records. I'm not sure they beat the Bucs again, to be honest with you. I think they caught them at the right time. And unless I can see them play consistently good defense against a good team, which we'll see in 2 weeks, then I can't sit here and encourage you with this team. I can't. I think it would be completely dishonest.
And that's not what this show does.
No.
I mean, he says, it's not lying. I'm a sports fan, so I know the team is not good, but the tide for first should not be just a pushover. Why? It doesn't change anything about the team. It doesn't change one thing. The team, if they make the playoffs at 7-9, is the team any closer to winning a championship than they were a year ago? The answer is no. And like I said, in fact, there's people who are going to keep their jobs that shouldn't keep their jobs.
Well, there are people that should have lost their jobs last week, and just because they came back and played better,
oh, no
doubt,
doesn't
excuse it.
No doubt.
All right, let's do our top 25 since the committee will be coming out with theirs later. And what you really care about is the top four, but we do all top 25. So here we go. I'll start with mine. 25, I have Mississippi State. 24, I have North Carolina.
Hold on, we gotta wait for the music. Fred, John's pulling it up now.
Where's the music?
It's
what's the problem here,
computer
John?
Computer crashed. Hold on.
We can't do college football talk without Ryan.
Is this gonna? So usually by the time I get to 24, he's got it going.
How's that?
No.
Yeah, hold on. Let me. I'm gonna look for an alternative.
Thank you.
Okay. Dust in the wind, maybe.
Maybe so.
Yeah, that'd be perfect. Can we do Dust in the Wind? All right. So I have Mississippi State at 25, North Carolina 24, have Aggie at 23. They should be ahead of Mississippi State. They went in there and beat them, and they have the same record.
Yep.
UCLA 22. Thank you, John. And I still have Temple at 21, despite the loss to Notre Dame. I think that's a pretty good football team. They deserve to be in the top 25.
I have Mississippi State at 25. I have USC at 24. I have Aggie at 23. I have Temple at 21. Or excuse me, at 22, I have North Carolina at 21.
Okay.
UCLA is out for me.
All right, so you have USC instead of UCLA.
Yeah. UCLA has a better record, but yeah, I've got
that. Yeah, I don't really think either of those teams belong in a top 25.
Probably not.
You know what? There's, at this stage.
I almost put Duke in just because I feel bad for them.
Yeah,
I still feel like Duke is one of the 25 best teams.
I almost put them in there too, but maybe next week. Toledo I have at 19. Michigan 18, Florida State 17, the University of Houston at 16, and Utah at 15.
I have Toledo at 20. I have UH at 19. I have Ole Miss at 18. I have Memphis at 17. I have Florida State at 16.
So where do you have Michigan?
15.
Okay. Yeah, 15 I have Utah. 14 Memphis. 13 Oklahoma. 12 Iowa. 11 Oklahoma State.
I have 15 Michigan, 14 Utah, 13 Oklahoma State, 12 Oklahoma, even though Oklahoma State's undefeated, and 11 Iowa.
All right.
And it's the highest I'll ever put Iowa. They will not get into the top 10.
I've got them 12. And well, we'll see what happens. If they can beat somebody good in the championship game, then maybe they move up. All right. I will stand by what I've said all along. Of the one-loss teams, I'm least impressed with Alabama so far. I'm leaving them at 10. I think when you look at their loss to Ole Miss, it just, to me, and they haven't been that impressive in wins against Arkansas and some of these other teams they played. So I have them 10.
Well, a lot of the wins that they have are over teams that were ranked at the time that aren't now. Like, yeah. Wisconsin isn't as good of a win as it was at the time.
No.
Georgia isn't as good of a win.
No.
Aggie isn't as good of a win. You know?
All those look good at the time, but some in the Arkansas game, they could have very easily lost.
But Alabama's entire reputation for this year comes down to Saturday night.
Yeah.
Alabama's either in the playoff or they're not.
It's all going to be sorted out when they play the number 2 team in the country. I have Notre Dame at 9, Stanford at 8, and of the one-loss teams, the most impressive one to me is Florida. I have them at number 7 and TCU at 6.
I have Notre Dame at 10. I have Stanford at 9. I have Florida at 8. Alabama at 7. Baylor at 6.
All right. Here's my top 5. Just missing out on the playoff, Michigan State.
I'm with you.
At 4, I have Baylor.
All right.
3, I have The Ohio State University. 2, I have LSU. And 1, I have Clemson. Now, I think the committee... we'll probably have Baylor 3rd, but that's my 4.
All right. I have Michigan State at 5. I have TCU at 4. I have The Ohio State at 3. I have LSU at 2, and I have Clemson at 1.
And I think Baylor hasn't been as – I mean, at least TCU's got a couple of decent wins. But, I mean, I keep going back to that Texas Tech game, which is all but a loss as far as I'm concerned. So and the thing is, they'll have their chance. They beat Baylor, they beat OU,
all those teams.
They beat Oklahoma State. Yeah. It's all going to sort itself out. That's why even now the rankings are a little silly, and it's great that they're doing them because it's fun. It gives us something to talk about. But the reality is, LSU Alabama is going to settle a lot this weekend. Oklahoma State TCU is going to settle something this weekend, and eventually Clemson Florida State is going to settle something. So. Realistically, this could look completely different, but as of today, if the season ended today, those would be my 4 playoff teams. And that's why when you look
at... You think Baylor more deserving than TCU?
I do, only because they're doing... And I don't know what's going to happen with the quarterback thing, but they've done exactly what they're supposed to do to these teams, which is just go in and destroy them. And when you compare their wins against the same teams, they haven't been close. And TCU easily could have lost to Kansas State. They should have lost to Texas Tech. They got a total fluke catch at the end of that game. So
I still give TCU credit for now for winning a game at Minnesota, because Baylor has done
they did
nothing outside of conference. Baylor has one of the worst schedules in college football,
and I'm not giving them credit for that. I'm just giving them credit for the fact that they're supposed to stomp a hole in teams, and they're doing it now.
I almost, like, based on what they've actually done, I almost feel like Michigan State's more deserving for right now than either one of those Big 12 teams. But
maybe
I mean,
so. Maybe
obviously,
so.
At the end of the day, Ohio State and Michigan State have to play. One of those teams is going to be bumped out, just like Baylor, TCU.
Yeah, they're not. And what could wind up happening is, okay, TCU beats Baylor, OU beats TCU, Baylor beats OU. You could wind up with all those teams with a loss, and I think if that happens, I don't know that any of them gets in. We saw it last year.
Two teams with the best chance. Give me two teams with the best chance not in your top four now to actually end up in the top four.
I'm going to give you not in my top four. I'm going to say Florida.
Okay.
Because I don't know that I see another loss for them until the SEC championship. And if you get there against a one-loss Alabama or a one-loss LSU and you beat them,
yeah,
you're in.
Well, and Florida could have beat LSU already. I mean, they're close. I get it.
Yeah. Florida, and I would say probably Notre Dame. Because that Clemson loss, you know, which, they should have won in the slop. I mean, that's still one of the best losses, and they're going to have a win. They're going to have wins over
the
quality
Stanford,
programs.
The Stanford-Notre Dame game is big.
Yeah, I think that one is another elimination game. And other than that, I think you're – you know, maybe OU, if you want to get into the 11-15 range, I could see that if they have wins over Baylor and TCU and Okie State.
I'll go the Stanford Notre Dame winner and Alabama have the best chances, I think.
Yeah, I just think that I think Alabama loses this week. But
they might. If they do, obviously they're done for.
Yeah. If not, then it's gonna come down to the Florida Alabama winner.
And also if LSU beats Alabama this week, LSU should be number one.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And right now, I would say Clemson has a better body of work.
Yeah.
Because of the win over Notre Dame.
And remember, Clemson's going to have they'll have a win over Notre Dame, and they would have a win against Florida State this weekend, too. So they have two pretty solid wins on their schedule.
Yeah.
Some of the things that happened in the ACC this year, like everybody thought Georgia Tech was good. Georgia Tech's not good. So everybody who beat Georgia Tech, sorry, that's not impressive. They're just not very good.
Well, I have a question for you when we come back. We'll also take some phone calls. 713-780-3776 is your number. But you need to tell the people about?
Oh, HBO. Tonight's the night, guys. Fred, I know you're going to stay home and watch this tonight. You don't have anything going on. And if you're at home, I really suggest you do. HBO does the best job when it comes to sports documentaries, like inside sports stuff. I always find them fascinating, and they've done it once again. You can see it tonight. HBO Sports presents Kareem, Minority of One, the much-anticipated documentary about Hall of Famer Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, revealing the complexity and genius of the NBA's all-time leading scorer, both on and off the court. Don't miss Kareem, Minority of One, tonight, November 3rd, 9 o'clock. You all know the stats on Kareem, the all-time leading scorer, 38,000-plus points, six-time MVP, world champion. Off the court, fascinating guy as well. It digs into his time at UCLA, where he's arguably the greatest college basketball player in the history of time. He's talked about a lot of stuff off the court. He's done a lot of stuff, including some appearances in movies, Airplane, Game of Death. A lot of really interesting stuff to delve into with Kareem, and no one can do it better than HBO. That's tonight. Tonight's the night. Kareem, Minority of One, Tuesday, tonight, November 3rd, 9 o'clock Central. You can only see it on HBO.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. And a couple texts and a couple questions from Twitter that I wanted to get to real quick, and then we'll grab some phone calls. Test Your Will asks, do you think Florida State can crack the top four if they went out? Well, you'd have wins over Clemson and Florida, and basically a fluke loss on a blocked field goal would be your only loss. I think if everyone else, and some other teams are going to have to fall off, but I think I'd get you in over Clemson because you beat them head-to-head, yeah, and you'd have a win over Florida.
I don't think Florida State's good enough to do that.
I don't see it, but I think this Clemson team is actually really, really good. And every time I say that about a team, that's when Georgia goes and becomes garbage. And, you know, in this case, I think this is a different Clemson team. We'll see. Yeah, this will be a good test for them.
Florida State has a really bad loss. Like I said, the loss to Georgia Tech.
Man, you know who else had a really bad loss? Ohio State last year.
Yeah.
So I think.
But like, you know who else has beat Georgia Tech in the or who else Georgia Tech has beat in the ACC? No one.
Well, but the thing is, but if you add it all up at the end, a one loss Florida State with wins over Clemson and Florida, assuming Florida doesn't lose to anybody else.
Yeah.
Probably gets in over a one-loss Baylor or a one-loss TCU.
They'd also have to beat North Carolina,
which would be a good win.
I'd probably bet on North Carolina in that game. Although North Carolina has a bad loss too. North Carolina lost to South Carolina.
No, but we're in general we're talking, you know, if they did this.
Yeah, it's so early in the game to say like, well, this team could beat this team.
I mean, I wouldn't rule them out yet, but I don't think it's realistic. How's that?
That's fair. I mean, as of now, though. The three teams I'm certain should be in the conversation for the playoff. I don't know what the fourth team should be or shouldn't be. The three teams that I know are deserving of those four spots: Clemson, LSU, and Ohio State.
Yeah,
I think you could. There's arguments to be made for fourth or fifth or sixth or whatever. You at this point, there's a hard time making a case against one of those three teams.
Yeah, now, if LSU loses to Alabama.
Right. Okay. I'm just talking about for these initial rankings.
Yeah, and I think those will be the teams that will be up there.
Because if Baylor doesn't make it and TCU makes it, Baylor doesn't have a leg to stand on to argue, and vice versa. I mean, they're both like, and if they say Michigan State's better than both of them, sorry, I don't feel bad for you.
No, and I think you'll be able to make that case. Either way, the cool thing is after this week, and from here on out really every week, it's going to start playing out. What's interesting to me, somebody's asked about the Pac-12. I think the only Pac-12 team that really has a chance is Stanford. And if they lose again, I think the Pac-12 is the one that gets left out of this. Because
I'm trying to think. I mean, I think it's going to be difficult for Utah to be taken seriously again. Because their loss isn't a great loss to USC. But at Washington, at Arizona, UCLA, Colorado close them out, and then they'd have a win over Stanford, conceivably.
Right.
So if a team beat Stanford, beat Michigan, I mean, you could make an argument for them. I don't know that they'd be a lock.
Yeah, unless Michigan winds up with another loss to Ohio State, and suddenly it's like, eh.
But even then, I think people respect Michigan either way. I think it's a pretty good team.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they've got some decent, like a win now at Washington, which I don't know if they'll win this weekend because Washington is pretty damn good.
And getting better, and that's a well-coached team.
So there's a lot going on in the Pac-12. There's moving parts every week, and Washington's gotten better. Arizona's not as good as we thought they were. UCLA's looking like they're playing pretty well again. So there's a lot could happen, but I do think Utah and Stanford are the only ones in the discussion. I won't throw Utah out yet, but they obviously they can't afford to lose another game.
And, you know, to be fair, Stanford damn near lost to Washington State.
Yep.
Which, and Mike Leach has finally got that thing going. And
Washington State covered, though. That's all
they
that matters,
did.
Right?
They did. Yes, exactly. But
that's the important thing.
That team lost to Portland State to start the season.
Yep.
And since then, their only losses were.
They used to be in my bottom five. Stanford.
Yeah. Yeah. You had them as one of the worst.
Yep.
And they've already got five wins, and they've got Colorado at Washington, UCLA, and Arizona State left. So it's still going to be hard for them to get bowl eligible. Colorado will win. They'll be six, right? That's it.
Yeah.
They're probably winning six games. Let's try Jones. What's up, Jones?
Sports.
Sports to you.
Yeah, y'all was just talking about the Pac-12. I saw that Washington State game against Stanford, and they should have lost that. I think it's not going to be a team for the Pac-12 to get in there because they keep beating each other. Why do you think it's a foregone conclusion that the Pac-12 is full of all these good teams as opposed to it just being a conference full of all average teams?
Well, I will say this. I don't think the Pac-12 is as good as they were last year.
I would agree.
I don't think they're as good as people thought they were going to be coming into this year. I think a lot of people, and last year I thought they were the second best conference besides the SEC. This year I thought maybe they could take that step to becoming, you know, finally someone to be better than the SEC. They're clearly not better than the SEC. So, yeah, I do think the conference is a little bit overrated now.
I think you've got a lot of really good teams in there.
But no standouts.
Yeah.
And the team that the three teams that really had a chance to stand out were UCLA, USC, and Arizona State. They've all been disappointing. Stanford is really, really well coached, not as talented as those teams. You know, so
I think Stanford's going to lose a game.
And Utah's the same way. Utah's really well coached, but they don't have the players USC has. So it's very difficult if you don't have great players or if you don't have both of those things, great players and great coaching, it's difficult to crack that code. I don't know that there's a team that has both of those things in the Pac-12, unfortunately.
Let's try Alex. What's up, Alex?
Sports.
Sports to you.
Kind of an outside question. I know it's a long shot. Ole Miss, two loss team. I was just seeing what you guys' thoughts were. If they were to win out, go to the SEC championship, beat Florida, what are the chances they could slide their way into the playoff?
I would hope zero, because I don't think if you're a playoff team, you shouldn't be losing to teams from the AAC. I don't care how good they are.
First off, if you wind up with two lost teams in the Pac-12 or even three lost teams, so let's say the Pac-12's out. How about this scenario? Ole Miss, two losses, unbeaten Memphis. How do you take Ole Miss over Memphis? Even though a tougher conference won the SEC?
That's difficult.
I mean, now you can make the same argument that they did TCU versus Baylor last year, body of work.
Why is this even a conversation? LSU will stomp their guts in. And if somehow Ole Miss beats LSU, they play Florida again, who's already stomped their guts.
Yeah.
I mean, Ole Miss just isn't as good as we thought they were, is what it boils down to.
Their thing is they
have a really good win on their schedule.
They're good. Their problem is that they're not as deep as some of these other teams, and we saw it last year. At the end of the season, they start wearing down, and I think that's going to happen again.
Aside from Alabama, who's the best team they beat? Aggie? Auburn? Like, we both say those teams are just kind of...
Eh.
They're good. They're good.
They're not.
But they're not like wins that you're putting a big red star on your resume next to. They've got one of those wins, and they've got two losses.
Those are just teams you want to avoid losing to, basically.
So, I mean, if they were somehow able to beat LSU and Florida, I guess they'd be in the discussion. But the likelihood of that happening to me is very slim, because I don't think that team is that good.
All right. We are going to take a very quick break. When we come back, Jerome Solomon, as long as he hasn't injured himself gardening or something. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On your knees, dog.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Time for our good friend, Houston Chronicle columnist. You can follow him on Twitter at Jerome Solomon. It is Jerome Solomon. Dude, you keeping those kids in line? Jerome? Okay, now he's not there.
Oh,
I guess he's not. We were told he was dealing with some issues. So obviously, that's what happened. A lot of people asking me about UH and guys like that. And I would just say, we've talked about this before. Well, we'll get back to that. Well, let's see if Jerome's actually here this time. What's up, Jerome?
Yeah, what's up, man?
There we go.
No biggie. How's it going?
It's going sports, man. How's it going with you?
Just lovely. Life is good.
Good. Good to hear. Were you excited to hear? I know you sent us that story a little while ago. Were you excited to hear that Yusuf Mack has come out and he's comfortable now in his dual sexuality?
I was a little worried about him. You know, it was like, you know, you would think if you're going to come up with a lie, you'd do a better one than I woke up and had $4,500 in my pocket.
Yeah.
As opposed to saying, I just woke up and didn't know what happened. I mean, you think they drugged you and paid you? Very nice. Yeah. It wasn't believable, and we knew it. Yeah.
So have you seen the video yet?
No. I'll pass.
You sure? Because, I mean, you sent that to us, and then you sent us a follow-up, so I just assumed you would give us a full report on it.
I read the synopsis of the video. That was enough for me, yeah. It was a holiday video, and they were enjoying each other's candy canes. That's all I needed to know.
I see. Oh, boy. So how excited are you about your first place Houston Texans? Were you tweeting out rock and roll last night?
Rock and roll!
That's pretty sad. And what makes it even more sad, it's not even that if you're on the team that you shouldn't go, hey, man, if we finish in first place, that's better than not finishing in first place. But you're not finishing in first place. You're in first place because the Colts are playing such disappointing football, not because you're playing great football. That's what's sad.
Well, technically, they're not even in first because if the playoffs started today, head to head, right?
They couldn't even qualify under that scenario. So yeah, that makes it even worse. But Andrew Luck's ribs can heal. The Colts can play better. There's nobody thought the Colts would be 3-5. The Texans are doing what most of us thought they would be doing.
So yeah, the Colts can also fire Chuck Pagano and get better.
And they don't have to fire Chuck Pagano to be better than the Texans. He was there when they beat him the last time.
Jerome Solomon is our guest, and really, when you look back on Sunday, that was the defense that we thought we were going to see, what we were told we were going to see. And that was kind of the way they have to win games. But how much of that is just playing the Titans, who also fired their coach?
Oh, it all is about the Titans. I mean, you don't have to produce to beat this Titan squad, especially with Mettenberger. Now, I mean, you give the Texans D-line some credit. I mean, they put some pressure on, no doubt. But the Titans are that bad. And they try to single up J.J. Watt with a rookie tackle. Come on, you're asking for him to dominate the line of scrimmage. And the Titans are an easy win for everybody, or they should be. And, you get credit for winning it, but you don't get credit for looking good doing it.
Let's go outside the Texans sphere to San Francisco benching Colin Kaepernick for Blaine Gabbert. How far have you fallen when you are being benched for Blaine Gabbert?
And his bigger thing is just being benched. I mean, we're talking about a guy who was on the cusp of thinking he could be a star in this league. He had played his way up to where you start discussing, oh, how good can he be? Can he one day be elite? Can he be a top 10 quarterback? So it doesn't matter who the backup was. It was time to put the backup in. It just so happens the backup is Blaine Gabbert.
The worst possible backup.
Yeah, if anything, it's more of a, the reason that Kaepernick was still in the lineup to this point was that because Blaine Gabbert was your other option. But yeah, it's not about Gabbert; it's about Kaepernick. It's pretty amazing for a guy to fall off that much.
Who would you have in your? Who do you think are going to be the four teams that they reveal a little bit later? And we all know that this is going to play out over the next month, and that it'll all fall into place. But where would you? Where do you think? Who would you put in there?
Yeah, and I'm with you. That's my general thing is, we spend all this time talking about something that's a waste of time talking, because when we get to the end, there probably won't be any discussion. But Baylor's the fourth team. I mean, I think the other three are pretty obvious. Baylor is the most deserving, but I wouldn't be surprised if Baylor lost two or three games going forward. But to this point, I'd have Baylor at number four.
Why do you think Baylor's more deserving than a team like Michigan State?
Because I'm in Texas.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good answer.
That's your reader.
I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
There you go.
See? I'm in Texas, and I've seen almost every snap that Baylor's played, and I've seen Michigan State play a little less, and I know Art Browse, and I know a lot of guys that play for Baylor, and yeah. So, yeah, that's called regional bias.
I'm not even arguing. Do you not punish Baylor for the way that they schedule? I mean, it bothers me to no end that they just do nothing out of conference.
But that's not the players' fault. So I'm not,
no,
I mean,
no.
And there's nothing they can do about it. But they win them convincingly. TCU, it didn't exactly light it up either. But they struggled with some of those games, and so I have Baylor ahead of them. And And by the time this is all done, it could be different. And of course, obviously, Michigan State lost the game.
No, Michigan State hasn't lost.
Yeah, they did.
Well, then you can. But then, you make the same argument about TCU. Then
you stop
because they had a fluke play.
And TCU not in my top five at all. Yeah, I have Baylor slightly ahead just because they didn't have to steal a game to win one.
But like
I said, that's because they're playing everybody's junior varsity.
I expect them to lose going forward without their quarterback, though. So, I don't think it's going to matter.
Where do you see Iowa? Do you give that team any credence? Because I certainly don't, because what I've seen of them, I'm not impressed with. They don't have any wins that really stand out to me, because they just happen to draw the best possible draw of the Big Ten East that they could have, where they don't play any of the top five teams in the Big Ten East.
And that's what makes it really tricky for them. And you certainly watch more of it than I have. That, you know, I have a big problem with them, because the quarter or two when I've watched them every couple of weeks, they didn't look all that impressive, and that's because they're not that good.
Yeah,
they would have two or three losses if they were playing a more representative Big Ten schedule, let alone another one. So, and again, I think that'll play itself out as well. But no, I'm not going to put Iowa above, or you know, Michigan State, Baylor, or TCU as we go forward. You know, I don't see that happening.
I have to drop them just because they foisted CJ Fedorowicz on the Texans. We have some breaking news that I think you'll find interesting, considering that we talked last week about how I thought the Texans needed to make some coaching staff moves. Well, the Colts have, apparently, Pep Hamilton out, according to Adam Schefter.
Not shocked at all.
Yeah, it's the Colts' offense is supposed to be better than it is. It's not all on him. I mean, but clearly they lack imagination there. And usually get away with a lack of imagination when you have a guy as good as Andrew Luck pulling the trigger. But Andrew Luck has not looked like Andrew Luck. I'm not blaming that on the offensive coordinator, but Luck hasn't been able to hide the poor offensive coordinator, the poor play calling, the poor imagination either. And that's, that's what happens when you have a bad offense being coached by a guy who's not getting it done. You know, like the offense we've seen with the Texans and the coordinator who I would have let go several weeks ago.
Yeah, I guess that just goes to show the difference in expectations. You know, when the Colts go 3-5, they're firing people. Texans go 3-5, they're tweeting out rock and roll.
Rock and roll!
Yeah, and the three wins, as I wrote in my column on Sunday, the three wins are against the teams that have the three worst records in the NFL since the start of last season. So
what does that mean?
You know, that means they're three teams worse than them.
Oh.
And that's only because Tampa was just getting started. Tampa might be better than them by the end of the season, but Jacksonville and the Titans, you know, the wins count, but you don't get stars for those at all.
Well, you get two stars for them because you get to play them again, two of them.
The problem is they're the last two games of the season. So, you know, this is the kind of team that, you know, because of the way the season has laid out and because of the egg that the Colts have put up, you know, you have an opportunity to get in a situation where you could put some pressure on the Colts, and the Colts have a tough schedule going forward too, because they're playing that first place schedule. This is a chance. And you get to, the Texans have already won five games, because we know they're going to win those last two, or we assume.
Right.
But
Not if T.J. Yates is your quarterback by then.
Yeah, can they get to eight is the question. And
no.
I can't see it. I just can't.
Maybe the Jets, now that Fitzpatrick isn't playing, is a game that you might be able to get. But the Saints have figured out their offense. That's one that maybe 3 weeks ago I'd have said you'd have had a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Patriots, and Bengals, really?
Yeah.
Either
and
at Ryan Buffalo?
Ryan Hoyer has been as good as he can be, generally speaking, and he's been awful. I know John McClain, my boy, keeps going, you know, he only has three interceptions, and two of those weren't his fault. I say, yeah, but five interceptions weren't grabbed because it was the defense's fault for not taking them. So when he has a bad game, can they win that game against any kind of a team, even the Jacksonville or Tennessee? And that's not likely, and he's going to have bad games going forward. It's a tough call for them to get it done without Arian Foster rushing for 130 yards, and these running backs haven't shown that they can do that.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, get your voice some rest.
Yeah.
You sound like you're dying.
Yeah.
I've been yelling at children.
Hey, let your
it's called fatherhood, dude.
No, BS, Jerome. You know why I never lose my voice?
You don't yell.
I let my fist do the talking.
See, I'm gonna call CBS on you.
All right, Jerome. Great stuff, buddy. We'll talk to you next week, man.
Later.
Yeah, Patrick says no. Texans won week one this season. Or this 1 week season. Yeah.
Yeah, they want to know.
They want to know.
Want to know.
And they won't lose coming up this week.
No. So, yeah.
Firing Pep Hamilton, by the way, isn't going to help the Colts.
Rob Chudzinski is your new OC.
No surprise. He's a Grigson guy. And that's the problem is, like, the coach and the GM are at odds with that team, and they're both really bad at their job.
Yeah.
Like, both those guys need to go.
And honestly, I don't think it's Pep Hamilton's fault that the offensive line is a mess.
Or that Andrew Luck's banged up or whatever.
And not playing well. But maybe you simplify things. That's what they always do, right?
Yep.
Bring in a new guy, simplify things. Maybe it changes it. But it also, I guess, saves Pagano's job for another couple of weeks. But this is how it starts. And those next two games, they're no joke, but if they play like they did last night, if they play like they did against the Patriots, they can win one of those. Not going to win them both. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
And we are back on the Blitz. I got to catch you up on a couple things here. We play the Bud Light Fantasy Game each Thursday during Happy Hour. It's absolutely free to play. This Thursday, we're having Happy Hour at Buffalo Wild Wings in Rice Village from 5 until 7. The top point scorer wins $100 and will be invited to play in the finals for $2,000. The only way you can enter is to get the link at Buffalo Wild Wings in Rice Village from Jason Braddock and the ESPN 97.5 Road Crew, courtesy of ESPN 97.5 and Bud Light. Here's what else I forgot to do. It's officially holiday time. And
no, it's not.
Well, it is, because we at Gal Media are in the spirit.
I'm not.
You need to get in the spirit.
No way.
Don't be a dickweed. ESPN 97.5, our sister station 1560, and Neighbors Emergency Center have come together to combine our efforts to collect toys for tots. Saturday, we're at Neighbors Emergency Center on Garth Road in Baytown from 2 until 4. Bring us your unwrapped, unopened toy donation and bring happiness to a child in need this holiday.
All right, I'll get on board with
that. You feel better?
I wrote that thing and read it, so no one can call me a Grinch.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay, good. How was it?
I mean, it was fine. Did they got mine, John?
I'll ask Michael.
Okay. Do you have Barry Laminex?
Give me a sec to pull it up.
Okay. I'd like to hear Barry Laminex.
Yeah, Laminex was very good. And I think it's gonna bring out a lot of support for the children.
Well, that's important.
Yeah.
We wanna support children.
It's all about the kids.
281 says it's funny when you get the GM, the head coach, and the quarterback right there where it clicks where the Colts were winning. They had Polian, Dungy, and Manning. And that's the thing. Polian did a great job of building that team. He got talent around Peyton Manning. That hasn't happened here.
You got it?
All right.
Hey, everyone. This is Barry Laminack with ESPN 97.5's Houston Game Day. The holidays are just around the corner, and 97.5 is partnering with the United States Marines and Neighbors Emergency Center to help collect toys for the Toys for Tots program. Jeremy Branham is an idiot. Since 1947, Toys for Tots has made it their mission to collect new, unwrapped toys to distribute as Christmas gifts to the less fortunate children in our area. Jeremy is stupid. We'll be setting up locations for you to donate, including live broadcasts and other ESPN 97.5 events. Jeremy is dumb. So don't be a Scrooge. Give a gift, get a tax break, and make a kid happy this Christmas. Jeremy is a moron.
I feel like that's solid work. I mean, he hit all the bases. Talked about the, you know, tax deductible.
I think he got the important stuff out there. I think we all know about Jeremy now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
So what you can hear that show on Sundays from 10 to 12. And they do a good job. It's a good mix. Barry's very funny. Jeremy is it's fun listening to him because he's pretty straight-laced most of the time. And I think working with Barry is good for him. All right. Time for the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
I have to admit, I hope my next ex-wife is Australian.
Okay.
Australians are crazy in a good way. And I mean, they're a lot of fun. But especially when they go to the racetrack. Now, I have to say they have better looking women at Australian racetracks than we do here. But a woman was arrested at Flemington Racecourse in Melbourne this weekend. Basically, she apparently had a little bit to drink. And a policeman was on the phone. She just walks up, for no reason, shoves him into a flower bed. Now, I get you're drinking a lot, you're having fun, but has it ever occurred to you at any point you see a policeman stand there on the phone that you're just going to go shove him into the weeds just to do it?
No, that doesn't. That...
Especially if you were a hot chick.
Yeah.
So, anyway, she was arrested, and no one quite knows why she did it, but I just, out of nowhere, just boom. It's Aussies, man. Crazy people.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
Hey, before you do that, you say if they win the division, the earliest they would pick is 22. You know who went 22?
Who?
Johnny Manziel.
True.
You know who else went 22?
I guess it's 21 is the earliest they could pick. I'm wrong. Well, my math is off.
You kind of ruined my whole Johnny Manziel, Brandon Whedon, Brady Quinn thing. Thanks.
Sorry.
Oh, well.
But they're clearly great quarterbacks available there.
Absolutely.
Because if you can pick them at 22, you could take them at 21, conceivably.
Theoretically, yeah.
By the way, Jacoby Jones cut if the Texans still need a kick return.
they probably could use one.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know if that's the right thing. But, well, whatever.
And Colt fan, you're insane. Pulling did a horrible job. That's why they only won two games the year Manning went out. Okay. I'll go through his draft picks versus what they've done since.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you're an idiot.
I will say this. For the longest time, I mean, Peyton Manning masked a lot of flaws in that team. And Andrew Luck, so far, has masked a lot of flaws in this team. And now that you see Andrew Luck playing like he is, suddenly you start to see, oh, wait a minute, the rest of this team is pretty bad, you know? And that's, I guess, kudos to those, to the Colts for finding, you know, two can't-miss prospects at the top of the draft. But I don't know that necessarily makes you like a brilliant GM or something.
I don't know. They also drafted guys like Edgar and James. They also drafted guys like Reggie Wayne, Dwight Freeney, Robert Mathis. Don't tell me that those guys didn't make a difference on that team.
No, they did.
And those nobody had Dwight Freeney rated that high.
Well, listen, I'm agreeing with you as far as comparing those two guys. I'm just saying that without, you know, without Luck or Peyton Manning.
Of course not.
The Colts are not even considered a good franchise.
Of course not, but he put a lot more talent around Peyton Manning than anything near what Ryan Grigson has done around Andrew Luck.
Agreed. All right, guys, fall is here, which like Fred said, I guess I'm wrong now. I said the holidays aren't just around the corner, but this piece of paper says the holidays are just around the corner. So are your carpets, rugs, and upholstery ready for the busy season? Host with confidence by having clean carpets. Put your trust in DFC Interior Cleaning, Houston's leading home cleaning experts. I've used DFC for a long time, used them in my house in Austin, use them here in Houston. They do fantastic work. They leave my floors looking like new. They're Houston's leading carpet cleaning professional, and the reason why is because they got the best technology in the game. They're not using old-school soaps and chemicals, which can damage your carpet fibers. They've got a non-toxic patented pre-spray along with super water and truck-powered equipment that can clean any surface, and that's what really sets them apart. Once the stains are gone, they're not coming back. And it's not just carpet. They'll do tile, stone, leather, oriental rugs, upholstery, air ducts, marble, all with that great technology. And now they'll do it on Sunday. Sunday service now available. Call now. You'll get a family four-pack to the Texas Renaissance Fest with any purchase. And when you come home from that day at the Renaissance Fest, eating on turkey legs and staring at winches, you'll come home to a clean house. That's always a good feeling. Call 281-347-8373, 281-347-8373, or visit them online at dirtfreecarpet.com for 24-hour scheduling and additional specials. 281-347-8373 for dirt-free cleaning.
The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.